भगवान राधि जमुना हरे राधा माधवा विंध्य विहार। Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahans Parivajakacharya Stotra Sattva Sri Sriman His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. His God, Founder Acharya's Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Raj Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Sri Sri Kishore Kishore Ki Jai. Sri Sri Gornithai Ki Jai. Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai. Hari Nam Sankirtan Ki Jai. Sri Sri Lakshmi Nrisimha Bhagavan Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Canto 5, Chapter 1, The Activities of Maharaj Priyavrat. And this is text 23. So word for word, it's a long one. Iti, thus, havava, indeed, sa, he, jagati pati, the emperor of the whole universe, Ishvara ichaya, by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Abhinivesita, completely engaged. Karma adhikara, material affairs. Akila jagat, the entire universe. Bandha, bondage. Dvamsana, destroying. Para, transcendental. Anubhavasya, whose influence. Bhagavata, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Adipurusasya, the original person. Angri, on the lotus feet. Yugala, two. Anavarata, constant. Dhyana anubhavena, by meditation. Parirandita, destroyed. Kasaya, all the dirty things. Asaya, in the heart. Avadatta, completely pure. Api, although. Manavardhana, just to give honor. Mahatam, to superiors. Mahitalam, the material world. Anusasasa, ruled. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The following the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Maharaj Priyavrat fully engaged in worldly affairs, yet he always thought of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are the cause of liberation from all material attachment. Although Maharaj Priyavrat was completely free from all material contamination, he ruled the material world just to honor the order of his superiors. Purport. The word mana vardhano mahatam, just to show honor to superiors, are very significant. Although Maharaj Priyavrat was already a liberated person and had no attraction for material things, he engaged himself fully in governmental affairs just to show respects to Lord Brahma. Arjuna had also acted in the same way. Arjuna had no desire to participate in the political affairs of fighting at Kurukshetra, but when ordered to do so by the Supreme Lord Krishna, he executed those duties very nicely. One who always thinks of the lotus feet of the Lord is certainly above the contamination of the material world. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Yoginam api sarvesham bhagatenatmanah stradavan bhajate yomam tseame yuktatamo mataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worship me in transcendental loving service, is ultimately intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. That's the last verse in the Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter, 47. Maharaj Priyavrat, therefore, was a liberated person and was among the highest of yogis. Yet superficially, he became the emperor of the universe in accordance with the order of Lord Brahma. Showing respect to his superior in this way was another of his, Showing respect to his superior in this way was another of his extraordinary qualifications. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 6:17:28, Narayanas parasarve nakuschatyat bidvidyati swarga bhavarga narkeshu apitu yartha darshana. A devotee who is actually advanced is not afraid of anything, provided he has opportunity to execute the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the proper explanation of why Priyavrat engaged in worldly affairs, although he was a liberated person. Also, only because of this principle does a Mahabhagavat, who has nothing to do with the material world, comes down to the second class platform of devotional service to preach the glories of the Lord all over the world. Om Agyanta Mirandasya Gina Jana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gudave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swam Padantikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Tandasya Dvaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So this is a very instructive pastime in the sense that out of respect for superiors and with detachment to the results of his activities, but most of all with his mind fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord, he executed his duties. He had no desire to do this work, but because he was ordered by his superiors to do it, he did it. Of course, we read at the beginning, he was reluctant to do that because in order to do so, he had to give up his, what we say, situation in the material world and take on some responsibility and become a householder. And so for that, it was a big, what we say, sacrifice on his part. And he was encouraged by the greatest of all sages, Sri Narada Muni, not to do it. Narada always seems to play an interesting role. Sometimes, you know, he's on the side of the demons, encouraging them to be careful against the devotees, right? Narada's an interesting person. But he always acts for the pleasure of the Lord's. So in this way, Priyavrat was doing his duty beyond the call of duty. It was a sacrifice. And that's what really brings the mercy of the Lord in our lives. It's like you're all here freezing right now. So that's a sacrifice. To come to class and to freeze. And not to remember, not to think about freezing, but to think about the class. That's even harder. That's the second part of the austerity. So that, you know, to make a sacrifice on behalf of God or on behalf of the religious principles is glorious. And that awakens within us the principle of bhakti. And we develop the desire to serve, and we receive the mercy of the Lord. Now, he could have just simply agreed to do it, but here he's ensuring his success in devotional service. His mind is fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord. When one's mind is fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord, and Prabhupada makes a very important statement in this verse, he makes many, but one that's very essential, is that here, one who always thinks of the lotus feet of the Lord is certainly above the contamination of this material world. And that's important to understand, because here's the way to free oneself from the reactions and the continual activities of the material energy. Always remember Krishna. It's not easy to always remember Krishna. As Prabhupada said, one has to have some love for Krishna before one can always remember Krishna. And the mind is conditioned not to remember Krishna, but to remember the affairs of the world. What do I have to do to live in this world? But through the process of bhakti and through detachment from one's activities, this is also, Krishna makes that point in the Gita, that if you want to fix your mind on me, you really have to be detached from material activities. If we're still trying to find happiness through material activities, you can't think of Krishna. It's just not possible. It's not like maybe you can think of it. You just can't, because your mind is diverted towards something else. Or your desires in your heart will push your consciousness to try to fulfill them by looking towards the material energy for some happiness or some fulfillment. So one has to detach themselves from material activities. In order to do that, one has to cultivate what they call knowledge and nescience side by side. Knowledge is that knowledge which is transcendental, which is spiritual, which is practical in the execution of devotional service, which is related to Krishna or to the process of bhakti. Nescience is how this material world works and how one is entangled within the material energy. So one has to be able to at least have some preliminary understanding of the process of nescience. How did this, Krishna explains it also in the Bhagavad Gita, how this material world is dukhalayam asasratam. It's miserable and it's temporary. And it simply entraps the living entity into activities which divert their attention away from their real happiness, devotional service, or Krishna. And so, therefore, unless one carefully detaches oneself from all forms of material activities, it's very hard to think of Krishna. And without thinking of Krishna, one can be easily overcome by the material energy. Therefore, Krishna, after discussing all the philosophical principles that make up the process of devotional service to himself, jnana, karma, and the material energy, how it works, the process of knowledge, the process of elevation of consciousness, the modes of material nature, everything, he finally says, surrender to me. But before that verse, surrender to me, he says, what is the process of surrender? The process of surrender is four. He gives four things, and Prabhupada confirms this in his statements. And bhakti makes up four things: remembering Krishna, serving Krishna, worshiping Krishna, and offering your humble obeisances to Krishna. These four things make up the process of bhakti. All the activities within bhakti are within these four categories. And of course, the essence of it is to always think of Krishna. There's that verse from the Mahabharata, which is mentioned in the... does anybody have the Veda base with them? Here, we can quickly look up. Look up Madhya Leela, chapter 22, verse 113. And this verse is from the Mahabharata, but it's mentioned in the Madhya Leela. And it's recited by the Acharyas, 22, Madhya, 113. let's see, what is the first word in that verse? Can't think of the word. You got it? 113, 113. You want to read the Sanskrit, someone? Smarta vyas tatatam Vishnu, vishmar smarta dita chuchit. Dita? Kinkara, Translation? Nice and loud. You have the microphone, is right there. Just perfect. Okay.
Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras should be the servants of these two principles.
All the rules and regulations in bhakti and in the Shastras are the servants of these two principles. What is that? Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Now, it sounds very difficult. That it is. But with what we say detachment from material activities, it becomes easy. And with the practice of bhakti, it becomes natural. Because bhakti is natural, and detachment from material activities is a process that one has to practice. And Priyavrat, he's engaged in material affairs, but he's detached from it. He's detached from it. He's doing the work. As we mentioned yesterday, and it's worth mentioning again, that to live in this world, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the formula. He says a woman has a husband and she also has a lover, but she's absorbed in her lover, but still she does her duty to her husband in such a nice way that he doesn't suspect anything. So in that way, one can detach oneself from the affairs and at the same time put one's consciousness in Krishna. Practice thinking of Krishna. Practice remembering Krishna. Practice chanting Krishna's name all the time. Prabhupada would say, you have to think of something. Why not think of Krishna? And Krishna's, to think of Krishna can be thought about in so many ways. I remember just like one of the many benefits of the morning darshan with the deities is to remember that darshan throughout the day. The mind can take a snapshot of the beautiful form of Sisi Kishore Kishori and keep it in your mind throughout the day and just remember that. And then, but the point is here, you're never affected by the material energy. Never. If you're remembering Krishna and somebody goes like this with a gun and pulls that trigger, that gun won't fire. It won't. Guaranteed. That's how the remembrance of Krishna is so powerful that nothing material can happen to you. Unless Krishna wants you to be killed, but that's another thing. But the point is, nothing can harm a devotee who is fixed in remembering Krishna. Because Krishna is on the transcendental platform, and our consciousness becomes transcendental when we remember Krishna. If we're preaching about Krishna, that's remembering Krishna. If our mind is absorbed in serving Krishna, we're also remembering Krishna. If you're cooking, cleaning, worshiping, doing, you know, a business for the temple, or even fixing the cars, if you're absorbed in your service and thinking it's for Krishna or Krishna's devotees, that's transcendental. That's remembering Krishna through the process of bhakti, like that. So this is the process here. Now, obedience to superiors is an added feature of enthusiasm. Of course, in this age of Kali, it's not very fashionable to listen to superiors. In fact, I remember when I grew up, there was an old saying, never trust anyone over 30. We grew up with that saying. Never trust anyone. Then, of course, we never thought we would be over 30 someday, but that was a problem. Never trust anyone over 30. So in other words, the old people don't know what they're doing. That's so in a nice way. It was like the mood of rebellion against everything authoritative, everything superior, like that. But unfortunately, that got no one anywhere, because there's an old saying, as the son grows up, he realizes the father's getting smarter and smarter as he grows older. It's not the father's getting smarter. The child is realizing that the father has, you know, is actually what he is. You know, so therefore, we have to take instructions from superiors. And in the Gita, Krishna says, one of the austerities of the body is to worship and honor superiors. So in our case, it's the spiritual master, the authorities that are representatives of the spiritual master, like that. Also one's mother, one's father, like that. You would see, just like in India, when the little kids would go to school, maybe you girls know this, you give gifts to your teacher, and a teacher's like a father, right? You treat the teacher just like you would treat your father. And he would also reciprocate in the same way. And it would be a big ceremony at the end of the semester, right? And everyone is giving wonderful gifts to their teacher for thanking him for teaching. And there's actually a lot of affection between the students and the teacher, like that. Of course, that culture is lost now. Now they come in and shoot the teacher, unfortunately. But this is Kali Yuga. So affection and obedience to superiors is one of the features of... And then, of course, in Krishna consciousness, we don't have to have that problem whether the superiors are qualified or not. Because if they're representing Krishna, they're qualified. I mean, even if we don't agree, still. So that's a high feature. And Prabhupada refers this point to Arjuna. Arjuna had so many reasons. And Prabhupada, I was listening to Prabhupada yesterday on the tape. And he was saying that, Krishna's asking Arjuna to kill his family members. This wasn't an ordinary war. His uncles, teachers, gurus, relatives, they were all on the opposite side. It wasn't like these people were enemies, they were family members who somehow or other became political enemies. So that was tough for Arjuna to do that. Just think about that. But he listened to Krishna, and because he listened to Krishna, he was successful in everything. So, therefore, Obedience to superiors is a very high form of what we say. Consciousness, to respect elders, to respect superiors like that. So, and this was an inspiration for him, because this whole pastime is based on that principle, that they needed something done like that. Sometimes we ask, please give me some service, and then when we're given the service, we're thinking, this is not really what I wanted. I wanted that service that you should know that I want. But it's like the servant ordering the master, please, Mr. Master, I'm your servant, tell me what I want to do. Like that. Think about it. We come to bhakti yoga and we have our own agendas. I used to say, if you want to make Krishna laugh, just tell him your plans. So, because our plans are really not good for us, most of the time, anyway. So the principle of surrender is the principle of following the authorities like that. Because unless we're a pure devotee, our desires in Krishna consciousness are mixed in with our material ideas or material desires. And because we kind of sort it out, we don't see the sorting out, and we just think, oh, I'm a nice devotee. But you're mixing it up with some of your own ideas on what is good for you and what you like to do and how things should go on according to your... But this is not the way. There's one thing you learn in life. You just learn, I guess it takes a while to learn this. Usually, sometimes you never learn it. But maybe when you're about 95, you'll learn it. And that is that the world just doesn't work according to your plans. You kind of get it after a while. You got your plans, and that's good, but shouldn't be attached to them. That's the point. We plan to serve Krishna, but don't be attached to the plans. Plan to be attached to the service. Plan to be attached to the service, like that. So, okay, this is a very powerful verse here. Let me see what else we have in this verse. That's Prabhupada said, a devotee who is actually advanced. Now, Prabhupada quotes this verse from the sixth canto. This was spoken by Lord Shiva when Chitraketu, this is an interesting pastime. Chitraketu, he was liberated from all his material activities, and he had the ability to travel around the universe. And there was a great meeting of all sages, and Shiva was there. And Shiva was sitting over, presiding over the sages, but Parvati was sitting on the lap of Shiva. Now, Chitraketu, he came by in his flower airplane, and he just laughed. He just thought this was kind of funny. Shiva's there presiding, and he's sitting with the... Now, none of the sages thought it was unusual. And Shiva, of course, didn't think it was unusual. But Parvati really became upset when she realized what happened. So she took account and she cursed Chitraketu. Oh, you think you know better than all the sages, and therefore you should go to hell. She was really upset. And it's the duty of the wife to protect the husband when the husband is condemned or insulted, especially a great sage like that. So she acted, but she maybe overreacted a little bit, and then she cursed him. And what did he do when she cursed him? He paid his obeisances. He said, thank you, mother. He actually called her mother and thanked her, and he was ready to accept his destination because he saw it as the mercy of God. When Shiva saw that, Shiva was so happy or ecstatic. He quoted this verse, Narayana para sarve akustascha chavidyati swarka pavarga narkaishu api tuyarta darshanam. And that a devotee of the Lord is actually not afraid of anything. It's like a compass. A compass is always synchronized towards a northern direction, like that. So the devotee is always synchronized towards Krishna, whether they're in heaven, hell, or in the Chicago temple when there's no heat. They're always synchronized towards Krishna. Always thinking of Krishna, no matter what the situation is. And that way, if one is not thinking of Krishna, then heaven becomes hell. And if one is thinking of Krishna, hell becomes heaven. Because thinking of Krishna means associating with Krishna. But one has to practice that. So, therefore, a devotee's not afraid. In fact, some devotees, I know, are enthusiastic when they get difficult kinds of services. They like challenges. They like adventure. They want to use their intelligence and their life to take chances for Krishna. They don't do it surreptitiously or whimsically, but when the opportunity comes, they're enthusiastic to do it. That Krishna wants me to do this. This ought to be great. We'll give it a try. And, you know, I know one devotee who's like that. He just likes to do big things for Krishna. He just don't want to bother. Small things, he just doesn't. He likes the big adventures, you know. Give me a big challenge. And Prabhupada was like that, too. Prabhupada spread this movement. He always thought big. He said, think big, shoot for the rhino. You know what that means, shoot for the rhino? Rhino is a rhinoceros, that's the word. A rhinoceros is a very difficult animal to kill. And if it sees its opponent, it comes charging at full speed. And it doesn't miss, usually. Now there's a gun that is specifically designed to kill rhinoceros. No ordinary rifle or gun can kill a rhinoceros. They have a special gun for this guy. And so Prabhupada said, shoot for the rhinoceros. That means it's difficult. And if you don't do it, people will say, it was too difficult anyway. And if you do it, everyone will say, wow, that's amazing. So take a chance for Krishna. Try to do something that'll spread Krishna consciousness nicely. Think about that. If we just go along in our life and we chant Hare Krishna and do a little service here and there, it'll be all right. But you'll miss out on all the fun. Take a chance for Krishna. But Prabhupada said, don't take a risk that is going to cause your Krishna consciousness to go down. That's the kind of a risk that is artificial. It's like I can see some of you here took some risks, and because of that, your spiritual life grew. Going out on Sankirtan, distributing books, that's a risk. Especially now, it's gold. But take a risk and preach, or do something to expand Krishna consciousness. It actually makes the whole process very exciting. Because why? You got to depend on Krishna. You just have to depend on Krishna when you take a risk. There's nobody else. You can see that, oh, can I do it? No. Can Krishna do it? Yes. Like that. It makes devotional service like that. Interesting like that. But, you know, not beyond what's going to cause you to fall down. You don't want to take too much of a risk. Like, you know, you don't go into a bar and start preaching. Sit down, have a few drinks so you can be with the... You're laughing, but this actually happened. One devotee said, I want to liberate the drunks. So he went into a bar and he would sit down. And to get their attention and get their confidence, he would order a drink, too. This is true. He was a book distributor. And actually, after some time, he... Well, you like that one? No. Don't get too excited here. So, yeah, and what happened was he became one of them after a while. His success kind of died quickly. So that's what is called an artificial type of risk like that. Or you may want to go preach, I don't know where, but someplace where it's dangerous, you know. So, therefore, you know, take a little risk, but not beyond what it's going to cost. But it's interesting you take a little risk. Or even your day-to-day service, you think, what can I do more in my service? How can I do it better? What is about my... If we just do our service to get it done, it's no fun. If you get it done, you won't have any fun. You'll be more on the run. And you'll probably become shunned. A little poetry there. Okay. I'm practicing for my future. Krishna conscious rap. Anyway. Okay. So, take a risk for Krishna. And this verse is important. And actually, this is one of the most important verses in the Gita. That Narayana Parvarsave, that means the devotee is, wherever they are, they're fixed on Narayana. It's not so much the circumstances you're in. These are external. They're influential. In some circumstances, it's easier to think of Krishna. In some circumstances, it's, let me say, more difficult. What are the circumstances that are more difficult to think of Krishna? When things are too nice. That's when it's too difficult to think of Krishna, when things are too nice. But when things get rough, then there's no choice but to take shelter of Krishna. That's why Queen Kunti prays. She says, you know, let calamities come again. Why? So we can remember you. And that way we don't have to remember birth and death in this material world. So, therefore, difficulties are actually opportunities to go deeper into our Krishna consciousness like that. And just to engage in association with devotees is a challenge. Always stay in association with devotees because it's a challenge. Why is it a challenge? You have to develop the qualities that are conducive to Krishna consciousness. Humility, tolerance, pridelessness, patience, respect for others. These are very difficult to do because we're conditioned to be more like the center. Because we want to be the center, it's hard to develop these qualities because they're in relationship to everyone else and they're ultimately in relationship to Krishna. So that's an austerity, to stay in the association with devotees. It's one of the greatest austerities, but it's also the greatest benefit in devotional service. It may be difficult. You don't choose the people. Sometimes you're put into association with people who have personalities that are completely opposite yours. And personalities clash sometimes. Even though devotees are devotees, still we are persons too, and our personalities clash. So sometimes it takes a lot of tolerance and patience in that association. But by practicing that, those qualities develop. You know, if you get an opportunity to be tolerant or patient, you should think, this is good because this will help me in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. As Krishna says, or Lord Chaitanya says, tolerance, humility, pridelessness, and respect for others are conducive to chanting Hare Krishna. They're conducive to chanting Hare Krishna. Okay, so any questions? Yes, Achyuta? Ashraya. I'm sorry, Ashraya.
You're always giving me your blessings when I become infallible.
infallible shelter.
Is there a difference we can understand between, like, the example of Chitraketu and Priyavrata? Because Chitraketu was just, boom, I accept, thank you. And Priyavrata, he accepted, but there was some process involved with that.
I think Chitraketu understood this was the Lord's arrangement, because he was cursed to become a demon. In his next life, he became Vritrasura, and that was his way out of the material world. He wanted to get out of the material world. So he saw this was an opportunity to get out of the material world. When he became a demon, he was a demon. He was in the demon's body, but with the devotee's consciousness. That's a beautiful story. So, yeah, I think there's a world of difference between these two. Priyavrata, he did it as a service, that's all. And he felt that he was pleasing the superiors by doing such things. He was reluctant, very reluctant at the beginning. Extremely reluctant. Himanshu?
Two questions.
Uh-huh.
My first question is, you were saying that obedience to superiors is a very important quality in devotional service.
It's mentioned in the Shastras. It's mentioned in the ninth canto in Bhagavad Gita, and again in the 17th canto, ninth chapter and 17th chapter of Gita. These things are emphasized.
So what if you have like a fear of becoming a servant, because you know it means you have to give up your controllership mentality. So how do we overcome that to become obedient?
How do we overcome the fear of becoming
a servant? Yeah.
Well, I think we need to cultivate the knowledge of what it means to be a servant. And being a servant is our constitutional position. Jiva Surubhai Krishna Nitya Das. We don't serve the material energy, but we serve Krishna. And by serving Krishna's devotees who are serving Krishna, that's also serving Krishna. So becoming a servant is the opportunity to open up your heart to Krishna's mercy. The master mentality is the opposite, or we might say the enjoying mentality is the opposite. Servant means one who carries out the instructions of the Lord, of the master, for the pleasure of the master. That's what a servant means. I do it for you and for your pleasure. So in selecting those we want to serve, or those we should serve, we have to see if that person's qualified. If you're talking in terms of a spiritual master, then you have to take time. But ultimately, Hare Krishna. What is that verse? Huh? That's it. What is it? What's the first law word? Tadvidyanartam guru abhigachchay. One must. Abhigachchay means must. Accept the shelter of Krishna's representative. And serve him like a menial servant. Even Krishna says that in Gita. Tadvidhi padipatena padipasyena sevaya. Unless we come to that platform, the devotional service will not progress beyond a certain level. We'll never really come to the goal of life. So, therefore, if you are very concerned about who you serve and how you serve, then take your time and understand who's qualified and how you want to serve that. Take your time. But don't, go on forever. When you're convinced by your intelligence, then you're convinced. Like that. So use your intelligence to come to the platform of service. That means study the scriptures and understand your position. what is the fear of becoming a servant is the fear of that we're going to lose something material, right? Our independence, right? Independence. Well, but that independence is false, because it has to. It's something you've created anyway. It's not. You're nobody's independent. You're either under the material energy or under the spiritual energy. So you think doing what you want is independence, but it's another form of monodharma. You're just serving your mind, that's all. Mind tells you this, mind tells you that, mind tells you this, mind tells you this. And you think you're free, but you're listening to your conditioned mind, that's all. You're not free. If you were free, you'd be happy. But you're serving your mind and you're not happy. Because nobody can serve a bad master and expect to get ecstasy from it. The mind's a bad master. So that fear of losing your independence is simply a fear of, it's a false fear, because you're not independent anyway. Now, take shelter of something that can give you real independence, because on the spiritual platform, you're actually independent. You're independently free to serve Krishna in so many different ways and to experience that happiness in different ways also. You're forced under the material energy. You voluntarily accept Krishna. And so when we voluntarily accept Krishna, we're free. Because Krishna is also free. And Krishna's pure devotee is free. So serving someone is free, you're free. Be serving something that's not free, you're not free. But you're thinking, I'm free by serving the material energy, which is your mind. Well, did you get the first one? Hold your second question. I think ladies have a question. I want you to digest that one. Mix it in with your breakfast. Okay, you got it? It's important that we just absorb the answer and think about it. Are we really free? Who's free? Nobody's free. This idea of free. You're free to die, free to get old, free to become, you know, infirmed. You're free to do so many miserable things. You're not free. You're listening to a conditioned mind. Your mind's programmed in a certain way, and if somebody else's mind is programmed in a different way, and both are thinking, I'm free. But it's your program. That's all. It's your hard drive. You made it that way. And you think that's freedom. It's not. Freedom, the material energy, there's nobody under the influence of the material energy who's free, because material energy is a jail. So some are more free in the jail than others, but still everyone's in the jail. So surrender. Okay? Got it? Write it down. Surrender. And surrender, it's nice. It's, what are you surrendering? You're surrendering something that you don't have, that you falsely claim is yours anyway. Oh Krishna, I give this to you. It's his anyway. We stole it and we're giving it back and we're saying, oh, here, this is for you. It's like I come and I steal your car and then I bring it back and I say, I'm giving you your car back. This is my offering to you. Well, you stole it in the first place. Well, that has nothing to do with it. So, yeah. So this idea of independence is a false sense of existence. There's nobody independent. But we're afraid to surrender because we like our false sense of independence. Why? Because the mind's still in charge. Give your mind over to your intelligence and give your intelligence over to the instructions of the spiritual master. And you'll see, you open up a whole world of possibilities when you surrender. Your whole life becomes, what we say, opportunities. Just now we're limiting our opportunities because we're thinking, we're choosing, but we're limiting our freedom because our minds are directing us according to how we think we can be happy. Spiritual life is broad. Material life is narrow. Yes, okay, you got it. Did you write that down? Okay. It's important. It's important because unless we take that next step, we really can't progress. Krishna says, okay, this is where you are. This is where you should be. What is it going to take to get you from here to there? That's called the next step in spiritual life. What is your next step? Okay, yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, regarding obedience to the superiors, according to my understanding, it requires an element of faith because yeah. If you don't have faith that what my elders or my authorities or my spiritual master is instructing me, because my mind is like personally, I have a doubting mind that what he's saying is good for me, for my Krishna consciousness. So I have fault finding, I have doubting mind, and I have so many attachments. So I'm attached to a negative thought that this is good for me, and I'm not surrendered also. So how can we develop, like get rid of all these four things and have complete faith in the authorities that, because of our attachments, we tend to find justifications, you know, that...
Well, there's, faith is developed in different ways, but if you... I think the most effective and the direct way to get your faith strengthened is by associating with advanced devotees. That's the most direct way. In that association, you develop more faith and more enthusiasm for the process of devotional service. Because they're engaged in devotional service. They're fixed. And they're showing you what faith in action is. So when you associate with devotees, right? Kirtida, you just were wearing with Malati, right? You can see the difference. When you associate with Malati, she's fixed. She's really fixed. And you see what devotional service is, you know. So, yeah, when you associate with someone who is advanced, you know your spiritual life's going to go up. Your faith's going to increase. So look for that association. Seek it out.
Yeah, and Maharaj, how to develop that receptivity? Like, personally, I have associated with very wonderful devotees, but still I'm not able to receive that in my heart.
Well, what is that element that's blocking you? Maybe because you gave your faith before and somehow it was misused, so now you're very protective of that faith. That happens sometimes. In our life, we trust someone, we trust some, just like some people come to Krishna consciousness who were in another spiritual process before. And somehow or other they had a fallout in that spiritual process. So they come to here, but they're also very cautious not to let that happen again. So that, but you can be overcautious where you close yourself up to the possibilities that are there for your progress. So therefore, you should ask questions and get your doubts clear. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the end of the fourth chapter, for the doubting soul, there's neither happiness in this world nor the next. So doubts are like demons. And Krishna killed Madhusudan, which is the demon of doubt. So any doubts you have, clear them up. Don't let them hang. Ask the questions, get the answers, like that. So sometimes because of experiences in the past, we become a little less fearful or our faith has gone down for some reason. But always have faith in the process. The process works. And have faith in Krishna and in the pure devotees of the Lord, like that. The pure devotees will never cheat you. A mixed devotee may lead you in the wrong way because he's mixed or she's mixed. So therefore, it's good to always associate with certain, not always, but to take opportunities to associate with advanced devotees. Okay, thank you. Yes. Mr. Luke, welcome back from Minneapolis.
Thank you. You were speaking on how it's the servant should desire to serve the master as the master likes.
That's what service is, isn't it?
Yes.
You don't hire a servant so you can he can serve you the way you want. It's like, we have a sign out here. We need a servant. He can come and do anything he wants.
Yeah, I was appreciating this point.
But, okay, so let's take it from a practical, what we say, step-by-step understanding. In the beginning, we're attached to certain ways to serve. And that attachment gets us a foothold in devotional service because we like to serve in a certain way. So then we should, and maybe the leaders, not maybe, but the leaders can see how best a person can be engaged in devotional service. This is the process. The leaders are supposed to see not so much the needs of the temple, but the needs of the devotee. That's what it means to be a leader. Not simply to keep the temples going and just push the devotees into different services. No, how this devotee can be engaged nicely. And to monitor that, even if a devotee is, it has to surrender because of circumstances. The temple leaders have to monitor that to make sure that person is making nice progress and not going down by his service or her service. So there's some adjustment like that.
Okay, I wanted to hear.
But the devotee should also be surrendered as much as possible to the needs of the temple and the needs of the authorities like that. So it's a reciprocal thing. Each are looking out for the interest of the other.
I wanted to hear a little bit about the idea of like cultivating attraction to service to Krishna. We may find we're attracted to serving Krishna in a particular way. And we hear that, you know, at more advanced stages of devotional service, a devotee is like spontaneously
attracted. You have to see if that attraction is natural or is just conditional. If it's natural, that's one thing. And that's what Prabhupada wanted, to have a Vanashram college to train people to serve according to their nature. That's Vanashram. But until we get to that stage of, you know, education and what we say discrimination, our conditioned way of serving may be good for us and may not be. But in the beginning, we just say, come on, serve, do something. All right? You want to do this? Do it for Krishna. Okay. Like that. But at the same time, sometimes we think, oh, see, this is like, this is where it takes intelligence to understand how to, what we say, bring both interests together in a successful way. The interests of the temple, the interest of the devotee, the interest of the society, interested of the person who's trying to serve like that. So it has to be a balance like that. We force devotees to serve in a certain way, and after some time they leave because it's not their nature. And at the same time, if we don't make people surrender to authority and we let them do what they want, that's not also good because they're not coming to the platform of understanding that they're a servant. So kind of like balancing these two things out is the important part. It's up to the leaders to know how to do that. And it's up to the devotees to be submissive to the leaders. So ideally, I'm speaking, but in this situation, I mean, that's the only way I can answer your question. That's the only way I can really answer your question. Because no situation is ideal. And from your side, you should think, I want to surrender. And from the leadership side, they should think, I want to engage the devotee in the best possible way. Right. So if that consciousness is there on both sides, it'll work. It'll work. That's why Prabhupada said our society is based on love and trust, not on rules and regulations only. These help build love and trust, but love and trust is the principle. Okay, thank you. Anything else? Yes, Asraya. Himanshu, you want to ask your second question yet? Yeah, let him go. I think he has to go to work. You want to ask it now? Okay. If you're late for work, you'll get fired, and then you can join the temple.
This will be quick, Maharaj. And at the end of the purport, Prabhupada mentioned that there is the Uttama Adhikari devotee who comes to the Madhyama platform to preach.
Right.
He's making that. And I was wondering, if the Uttama comes to the Madhyama platform to preach, in terms of outcome, is there a difference between a Madhyama Adhikari who's preaching at his level versus an Uttama Adhikari who comes to the Madhyama level?
Yeah. There is a difference. They're both kind of like using the same principles. But one is coming down and one is coming up. So you're trying to discern the consciousness like that. When we say, just like Jayom Vishnupad Paramahans Pariva Jagacharya. So when you say Paramahans, that's the highest. When you say Parvi Jagacharya. So you're giving credit to this soul for being both. And he's Parvi Jagacharya. That's the second class platform, traveling preacher. He makes discriminations. But he's not acting on the first class platform anymore. He's acting on the second class platform. He accepts that, and therefore he follows the principles of the second class. Okay. It's more like if someone's qualified and they come down to take a lesser role, they can still be on the higher platform, but they take the lesser role for a higher purpose. And there's someone who's just coming up from the lower level to that platform. They don't have any experience of the higher platform yet. And so for them, that second class platform is the highest. But Prabhupada, you see, if you listen to Prabhupada's lectures, sometimes he speaks on the first class platform. And he did that at the end of his life. Yeah, okay. Yes, Asraya.
Since it requires both sides, as you were saying, desire to, for the leader to engage a person the best way that they can advance, and the devotee to progressively surrender, to want to surrender.
Yeah, it has to be a mutual cooperation there.
So from the side of a leadership person, there's the opportunity to help that person cultivate the desire to surrender. So what in principle is the way in which, because that's also a part of their service, I guess, is to inculcate that service mood.
That service mentality.
Yeah. Just by their own example, or there's a variety of...
By their own example is one way. By emphasizing the importance of cooperation. That's the other way. Then the more we cooperate with leadership, the more we cooperate with each other and with Krishna, ultimately. We used to demand that. Surrender! Or you're going to go to hell. All right. You got to surrender. Remember those old days, those temple presidents? Surrender! That's the only word they know. Surrender! Surrender! The guys are saying, I'm trying, man.
Either, right?
Yeah. Bhakti Rasamritu Sindhu Maharaj, Bhakti Rasamritu Maharaj, he took over the temple took over the temple president of Vrindavan. He came in at a really difficult time. When he came in there, one god sister of mine, she was there for 20 years. She said, he was a brahmachari then. She said to him, "You're the 19th president in 19 years." That's how hard it was to be a president there. And he had a really tough time. So, and the brahmacharis wouldn't get up to go to the Mangal Arati. So I told him, "What are you doing to get the brahmacharis up?" He says, "I go in their room, and when they're sleeping, I wake them up and I massage their feet, and I say, please come to the morning program." He did it. He was doing that. He would grab their feet. They would be so embarrassed. And here is a senior devotee coming to grab my feet and wake me up and wants to massage my feet. So, God, I should go to the morning program. So that's what he had to do to get people out of bed. Now, I'm not saying you should all do that. But, you know, that's what he was willing to do in order to establish, and he was successful, and he stayed in that, he was the most successful president they had in years. He did a lot of wonderful things, but after a while he had to leave because it was so difficult there. Such a difficult place, Vrindavan Dham, our temple in Vrindavan. So it's a real test, you know. My godbrother Kadambakanana Maharaj, he was temple president, he got shot there. 1994. Yeah, he was shot by one devotee with a gun. It was a tough place, yeah. So, you know, you think Chicago's rough. Little cold, and that's not so bad. Because the mafia is very strong in that area. That's why the influence of the mafia is very strong. Yeah. So, you know, it's a problem. So, but he did what he had to do, and he was willing to do whatever he had to do to make a difference. So, and the devotees should think, why should I make the temple president, you know, give him so much trouble? He's got enough trouble already. Why don't I just surrender? And the temple president is thinking, I want to really help these devotees grow in their spiritual practice, so let me figure out how I can help them in their, not only engage them, but guide them like that. So there's a balance like that. Yes, okay. Does that help? Is that... Yeah, yeah. Anything else? Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Oh, before you all leave, I got some Mahaprasadam for everybody. Just